Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. We're here on this Sunday at the chapel. It's the early afternoon, or late afternoon, actually, started to get to be. And we're together to just enjoy a fellowship with one another. And I have some things I wanted to announce to you and share with you. We have our wonderful sister Barb Fennell in with us. And it's just been a lovely time together. In the next several months of 2014 on into 2015, for the blessing to the church and for the edification of the body of Christ, I will have the privilege to ordain and install a few of our brethren into the sacred service of ministry to God's beloved. As my schedule allows, I will ordain to the ministry of the saints Celestin Mbanyanga, who course you know is up in Canada, but he's also served and initiated the teaching of the rightly divided word in many countries in the continent of Africa, as well as he has done that in other places, and you know that he has served with me in translating our teachings and either directly or that we have recorded into French. For the ministry of service God has set me to fulfill, he has done that into the French language so that we're able to minister to the brethren that speak French. I will also be ordaining Gil Heckel, who served on our board of directors for the Beloved of God Ministries and continues to bring the awesome message of God's love to the born-again ones. He has also been effective in establishing them in the fullness of our victory in Christ and to walk with the Father of Lights. In addition, I will also ordain our dear brother in France, Maiello Danfonso Emmanuel. I call him Emmanuel all the time, so to say his last name is a little more difficult. It's Danfonso. He is with the ministry called Believers Valiant for the Truth, or they use the initials ACVV, of course, that's in French letters, but he is in the common faith with us and serves to minister among our Francophile brethren in France and on the continent of Africa, the light that our ministry has brought forth to the family of God. Today I want to take some time to set for you certain truths regarding the relationship in authority to the gift ministries in God's order that he has set for the church of God for the purpose to edify the body of Christ unto the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So let's go to the 119th Psalm. As we begin this, the highest calling in life for anyone, or that anyone can receive, is the calling as the Son of God to the one body, which is his church, which he has purchased with his own blood, meaning Jesus Christ. In that calling, there is a complementary calling, so to speak. I couldn't think of a better word, but a complementary calling for some to fulfill a sacred service to his church, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Each minister is first called to be a son. He receives that high and noble calling of God, and he needs to and should conduct himself as a beloved one in this family of God, to which he is also a part. Then by accepting this calling to the sacred service, to the body of Christ, he is a minister to the whole church of God. There are some members of that church that may not recognize or even desire this sacred service that he has to present for the body of Christ, to which they knowingly or unknowingly reject. However, each time he ministers, he teaches, or she teaches and ministers, it's to the whole church. The ministries God has set are to the entire church. Now, of course, their greatest effect is going to be among the people where they are serving, the people in kind of their community of service. But really, it's always to the whole body of Christ that he is a minister to. The same way as we are sons of God in the whole family of God. And not, I am not just a son of God in Beloved of God Ministries. I am not just a son of God in this little sect. I am a son of God in the entire family of God. I am a son of God in, since the day of Pentecost, the family of God. God has had children. I am a son in that whole thing. You are a child of God in that whole thing. Similarly, a minister and one who takes on this sacred service by their freedom of will, their freedom of choice, God makes it available and they accept it, they become a minister to the entire body of Christ. We have a tendency to want to separate everything and cut it down to smaller chunks and have our exclusive little thing, you know, where we can be the household, or we can be, you know, this group over here, or we can be the special ones over there, and all of these things. God doesn't recognize all the little designations we make. He recognizes the big thing he does, and we ought to sort of follow and see that big thing. He's not opposed, in a sense, to these smaller things, as long as they stay within the framework of the whole family of God. So we want to recognize that. And unto whom much is given, of him much will be required in regard to these ministries. So let's go to Psalm 119 and look at verse 24. In the 119th Psalm, the 24th verse, it says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Some of you who have a center margin will see that where it says "my counselors" reads "men of my counsel." Because all of the testimonies in here are men who counsel us, so to speak. You read Isaiah, and his words and the teaching that Isaiah had given and the testimony of his life, we take it and accept it. We receive what the scriptures have to say regarding him, what the scriptures have to say regarding situations, and we find it and we apply it. In other words, Isaiah's life becomes my counselor. The Apostle Paul, we read the epistles that he sent to Corinth. We read the epistles he sent to the Ephesians. He becomes a man of my counsel. And the same way in which we accept the apostles Peter and Paul, the prophet Samuel, the prophets Isaiah and Jeremiah and the others, the evangelist Stephen, and all of these, we regard their words. We go to it for counsel. We regard their words and we take it. We claim them as part of our heritage. In the same way that we seek their guidance, the men of my council. That's what David said. David had to say that about Samuel. He's part of the men of my council. He had to say that about Moses. He's a man of my council. He had to say that about Joshua. He's a man who counsels me, because when I read the scriptures and the testimony God has given to me regarding Joshua, it helps me in my life now. So I accept him as a prophet to me. I accept him as a part of my heritage. Well, I accept all of these men also as counselors to me and as a part of my heritage. Therefore, we need to see bigger with spiritual eyes and appreciate the sacred service of the men and women who are called from among our midst today in the same way in our generation, and regard them highly for their sacred service, especially and more likely that service which will affect us most prominently. For instance, with beloved of God, they'll have their greater effect among our fellowship, because we tend to fellowship together and look to that. So, but we ought to regard them in the same way. We need to get bigger eyes and see this, and I trust that over the next weeks as we go into these things, I'll be able to show it to you and give you a better understanding and why it will profit your life greatly to recognize the ministry in their lives and in the lives of these men and women. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 in this great record. And we'll pick it up, first of all, in verse 7. Ephesians 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The word gift here is the Greek word doria. D, it'd be transposed into our English letters of D-O-R-E-A, doria. Doria is a benefit to the recipient. Unto every one of us, it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the new birth. Now, when I manifest that gift, it also gives benefits to others, but directly to me, it benefits me directly because it gives me eternal life. I am a recipient of eternal life. When I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, I receive the self-same gift that they received in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. We receive that self-same gift, which is eternal life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that goes to everyone, right? Each believer receives Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right, verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That is the Greek word doma. Again, transliterated into our English letters of D-O-M-A. Doma is a benefit to others. And that is what the gift ministries provide for the body of Christ. And we'll find out what those gift ministries are as we keep reading. Now he that ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So that's the gift ministries that it is speaking about that is a benefit to others. Because look at the next part. The reason he gave these gifts is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Anybody doesn't want that? Anybody not interested in having any of those things? Those are the benefits that those ministries are to provide the whole church of God, the whole body of Christ. And it tells us how long they are in effect. Because when people talk about the new birth, sometimes they'll say, well, that died with the apostles. Well, the apostles haven't died. That ministry continues today. Here, look at verse 13. Till or until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Have we reached that yet? So then these ministries must still be available today and still have the same responsibility for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then they should still be in effect, right? Sure. And what they will do, what and how they will edify the body of Christ is there in verse 14. That, here's the purpose. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to what?
Deceive.
And that happens. And we need those ministries in the church so that we can grow up, so that we are no longer children carried about by every wind of doctrine, carried about by the cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But rather than that, verse 15 says, and this is for the body of Christ, but speaking the truth in what? Love. And that's everything that has to do with God, everything that has to do with Christ revolves and centers around the love of God. So these ministries should be helping us so that we then can speak the truth, how? In love. Not just speak the truth, but to speak the truth in love. And the reason we want to speak the truth in love is that we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even. So we become more Christ-like. That's their purpose. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in what? Love. So the love flows right back. Now, I want to go back to these great ministries and set some things for you. It says, and he gave some apostles. An apostle is one that brings new light, both doctrinally and practically. And it could be old light. But it's new, perhaps, in our understanding. It's new to our generation. And that's what his ministry will function. That's what that ministry is to do. It's to bring new light, both doctrinally and practically. Like the light that we have been uncovering more and more. Everyone that like I share most of the time, you stop a Christian on the street and you say, God loves you. Or you stop a person on the street and you say, do you know God loves you? And they'll say, yeah. But they aren't at the place where they really believe it, that they believe the extent of that love. And not that we have we have cornered the market and we've got God's love tucked away in a box and we're just going around and opening it up and saying, there it is, all of it. No, but it's bringing new light to a generation. It's bringing new light to people that have been aware that God is love, but to the place where they are beginning to believe it and have it practically in their lives and practically in their day-to-day living. A prophet is one that establishes and confirms the believer by way of exhortation and comfort. I know most of the time we look at prophets and we look at the Old Testament and we see that it seems like they're chewing everybody out. but I guarantee you those prophets were filled with great love, but us even more. The purpose is to establish and confirm the believer by way of exhortation and comfort. Look, if everyone is living the Word or growing in the Word, developing themselves in the Word, then the way most people look at a prophet, we wouldn't need him anymore. So what does a prophet do when people are living the Word, when people are growing in the Word? Well, he exhorts them on to a greater endeavor. He encourages them in the things that they want to do. They want to be more like Christ. So he gives them exhortation and he gives them comfort and helps them grow. That's exactly what he does. And more so in the body of Christ because of their knowledge and understanding of the Word. He or she keeps the beloved rooted and grounded in the words of life. An evangelist proclaims the completeness the believer has in Christ. His salvation, or how to obtain salvation. And it seems like in a lot of churches, you know, every week you have to go back and get saved again. But he helps them, number one, receive into manifestation salvation and victory through Christ, then leads the believer into receiving the evidence that they have eternal life by helping them manifest that gift of Holy Spirit that we talked about back there in verse 7. He helps them evidence the gift of Holy Spirit that they received in the new birth and brings them into a full assurance of eternal life so that they're not wondering, am I saved? Am I saved? Pastor ministers more on a horizontal level, and where he really excels or she really excels is in comforting the believer and healing their wounds. And when I talk about comforting the believer and healing their wounds, it is both things that occur within the ministry of believers and also things that occur in the world. How many of you ever been hurt by the world? The pastor is wonderful in doing that. Now, lots of people and believers help each other in these categories. But as a one with a gift ministry, he really excels, or she really excels in their ability to do this, to communicate this, because they have a great ability to communicate to that individual God's love, God's healing, God's forgiveness right now. Same way, you know, you go and witness to someone, doesn't necessarily mean you're an evangelist, and it doesn't mean that you will be unsuccessful, because you're not. They just have a wonderful way of helping the believers, every one of them, exercise their gift of God that they received in the new birth to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead them to salvation, to lead them to wholeness in Christ, to lead them into the victory that they have in Christ, and help them have a full assurance that they have eternal life. But the evangelist is kind of the spark plug, the initiator of it, so to speak. Just a beautiful way. The pastor helps the healing of their wounds, both, again, that they may have among the believers where there's, disagreements and that kind of thing, but also in the world, and to keep us focused on God and his blessings, his promise, regardless of what the world does. And he is very adept in helping them overcome and get healed from these wounds, whether they be past, present, and how to avoid them in the future. He's adept at keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I think of it in Acts 15, where there was the problem among the Judean believers and the Gentiles that were coming into the house, to the family of God, into the family of faith. And Paul and Barnabas had gone to Jerusalem to meet with them so that they could figure out a way to heal this rift and to heal this situation. Remember that Peter said, oh yeah, I remember, God's no respecter of persons and all of this thing. And then they decided to write the letter. That's kind of the work of a pastor, how that happened. They didn't stay with it, and they didn't, they didn't keep their mind in the right place, because then in Galatians, the Apostle Paul, remember, he reproved Peter because Peter slipped away from what he had agreed to and thought about. And that wonderful message of truth and testimony he had witnessed himself, and he forgot about it. So Paul had to bring him back to those things. And much of Galatians, who hath bewitched thee that you're so quickly turned away from the truth? You remember all these things, goodness sakes. That took place. It's not a matter of saying, now, was Paul this or was Paul that? Was so-and-so this or so-and-so that? Is Bill over here this or is he that? Because if he's a pastor, I'll listen to his pastor, but I won't listen to the other stuff he's got to say. If he comes up with new light, forget about it. Because, no, we are to have that. That's what I mean, where our minds and our spiritual eyes need to get bigger in really seeing the beauty of this. And I will share with you how this works according to authority, how it fits in the framework of authority, how it fits into the work of God's order, and how this works very effectually. And I think you'll be greatly blessed by it. But anyways, the pastor sort of builds on the strength and endurance that the evangelist began and helps the believers, keeps the beloved ones walking and growing in the more abundant life. Then there's the ministry of teachers. And a teacher really ministers and has a marvelous ability to communicate the doctrine and the new light to make it so very practical to everyday living. So the believers solve the issues of life by the wisdom of spiritual solutions to their earthly problems for the most part, and also spiritual problems. Now, you will see some of these perhaps in an individual's life, you'll see evidence of some of these things, or appears to be some of these things. For instance, like an apostle, if he's going to bring new light and he's going to teach the doctrine and the practice, then certainly he has to evidence being a teacher. But that may not necessarily be his ministry. But we don't need to get that finite. What we need to know is that God is so loving and so kind and so gracious to the body of Christ that he will provide all of these things to us for our blessing and for our benefit. And it will take all of these things all the way until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. So it's not our quest to find, let's go find an apostle or let's go find a prophet. God will provide those things, and we should acknowledge it and have respect for those ministries and how God has loved us and blessed us. It is these ministries that are gifts to the body of believers to profit them in the finished works of Jesus Christ. The ministries are the gift. Now, certainly we would want to respect the individuals, but we want to respect every believer. You know, we would want to love a man who has the ministry of an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, but we also want to love one another in Christ Jesus, and we want to have the same love one for another. But there is a way that these will function most effectually for us in the body of believers, and I will get to that as we go along. Again, they are not gifts to the individual, except that they are to the one body of which each minister is also a part. See, if we look at the truths that follow, it tells us, but speaking in the truth and love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So am I part of that body? Then I want it to function so that I can be edified in love. See how it starts to work? We'll develop it a little more. Maybe I'm talking in terms that you aren't quite familiar with, or we're just getting into a topic that perhaps you haven't explored and worked, and that's fine. But you should know, so that we become people who have expectations of what our ministers are to do and what they will do for us. And we should have expectations of the results we're going to receive, that we're no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Wouldn't that be nice? Look at Ephesians, let's go to verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The word worthy is the word balanced. But the balance is not a pendulum where it swings over here and it swings over there and it swings over there and then it swings back that way again. The balance is right in the middle. You know, when you look at a balance beam, does that balance beam move? No. You need to maintain your balance on that beam, but the beam gives you something to balance upon. in essence, the Word of God is the balance. And what these ministries will do is help us and train us so that we can stay on that narrow path, so to speak. Narrow is the way. It's not that we're not going to and fro. We're not getting bounced around by the world, by every wind of doctrine. Oh, this sounds great. Well, you know, that sounds great. Hey, you know, I think that over there sounds better. And that, where am I going? It will keep us right on the beam, right on the word. We will have balance. And the balance is on the word. That's the point. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another, how? In love. And that's the beauty of it. And you will see that the key to this is placing yourself in subjection. Many years ago, in dealing with a marriage relationship, it tells the wife, wives, be subject to your own husbands. And we came up with the definition of subjection as lovingly obedient by proper arrangement and a deliberate decision. I think that still is probably one of the better definitions for the word subjection. It's word subjection. It's not the word oppression. it's subjection. It's your loving obedience by the proper arrangement and deliberate decision. And I'll share with you a little further on the proper arrangement, how God has set that in order, both in authority and in procedure and function. And it's our deliberate decision. That's where it makes it so beautiful, because we can decide. Verse 3 tells us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, how? In the bond of peace. The word endeavoring means to put forth an effort. If we're going to put forth an effort into anything, we ought to put an effort into keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And these ministries will help us stay there, stay balanced. For there is one body, not 20,000 ministries, but one what? Body. Men have, men make up ministries. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in y'all, in you all. So, and again, I just want to close it out today with verses 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, that's where the body of Christ should go, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That is what we are looking forward to. Next week, we'll look at how to receive the benefit of these ministries in light of our personal authority in Christ and God's order, which he has set for the church. So I trust that you rejoice with us at the announcement of the ordination of these men, but even more so, a greater understanding of what God has set as a structure for his church so that it has that effectual thing, effectual measure, that it has that edifying of itself in love. Bless your hearts.